السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام ميم. أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. صدق الله العظيم. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: عجبا لأمر المؤمن، إن أمره كله له خير، وليس ذلك لأحد إلا لمؤمن. إن أصابته سرا شكر فكان خيرا له، وإن أصابته ضرا صبر فكان خيرا له، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. علماء الكرام، most respected elders and brothers and our sisters who are present and those who are listening, generally before these programs we have this fikr and concern that what will be the topic of discussion for the night, and some kind of ideas and thoughts are in the mind. Very often happens that just prior to the program commencing, the entire talk goes into a different line. This is because the nature of these talks is centered around the tarbiyah and the islah of ourselves and those who are present. Allah Ta'ala grant us that sincerity. However, whenever we are addressing these crowds and these kind of gatherings, so the dua that is made is that, Ya Allah, whatever is beneficial for those who are coming, put it into our hearts, put it into our minds. Initially, I was going to be discussing the hadith narrated by Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu that was in the mind. But prior to, few minutes before coming, suddenly this entire mazmoon just came in the mind, and very strongly, and therefore Allah Ta'ala make it possible for us to do justice to this particular topic. And the topic is centered around Radha bil Qada, meaning resigning our will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do understand that as man, we are a created being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Khaliq, Allah is the creator, Allah is the sustainer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this entire world, and He has chalked out a particular map for every single thing. وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ بِمِقْدَارِ. Everything in this world has got a set pattern, stipulated system. This entire world is functioning absolutely systematically. What may appear to be chaos to us, in reality, is the direct plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It appears chaotic to us, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly what is happening, when it will happen, how it will happen. Nothing can change one bit. Therefore, one particular person spent many, many years in the company of one wali of Allah. When he was departing, that wali of Allah told him, then don't ever claim divinity. Don't claim divinity. So he says, Hazrat, how can I ever claim divinity to be a God? So he says, what does that mean? So that means that if you wish things to happen your way and you become upset or you are not prepared to resign your will to Allah's will, then it means that to an extent you are claiming that you are divine, that it must happen this way. So resigning one's will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a very, very great maqam. In fact, one great wali of Allah asked Hazrat Thani Rahmatullahi, is there any darja and any stage greater than ikhlas? So he mentioned Rada bil Qada, that resigning one's will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned a very beautiful hadith. He said, Ajaban li amri al-mu'min. How wonderful is the affair of a believer. How wonderful it is. Inna amrahu kullahu lahu khayr. Everything that happens to a believer is full of goodness. There's some khayr in it. These are the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In asabatu sarra. If some favorable condition comes upon him, some prosperity, some happiness, some joy, shakar. He makes shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. That's khayr for him. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّ. And if some unfavorable condition comes upon him, some difficulty, some pain, some hardship, some loss, some misfortune, sabr. He makes sabr. فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. That he is exercising sabr on that occasion, that is good, the best for him. As far as sabr is concerned, we all make dua. And this Mohammed Patel Sahib Rahmatullah has always said, there's only two routes to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this comes from the couplets of Hazrat Wala Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib. Ke isi tarah se mumkin, teri raah se guzarna, kabhi dil pe sabr karna, kabhi dil se shukr karna. He said, this is the only way we can reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That sometimes we have to make sabr on this journey, and sometimes we have to make shukr. This is the only way we're going to reach Allah. There's only two conditions that any person can be faced with. Either he's making sabr or he's making shukr. And even when he's making sabr, there are certain other aspects in his life that he'll be making shukr for. So our late Mawlana Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, of course we must always make dua that Ya Allah, do not take us to the road of sabr. Take us to the road of shukr. And we don't make dua that Allah Ta'ala brings down any difficulty upon us. But if some difficulty comes upon us, then subhanAllah, the beautiful example of our late Mawlana Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, what a wonderful example. And it's substantiated, or the essence comes out from the verse of the Quran Sharif, wherein Allah Ta'ala says, La yukallifu Allahu nafsan illa wus'ah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never places a burden upon any individual beyond his or her capacity. Meaning that if Allah ta'ala puts some imtihan or some difficulty or some bala or some pain upon any individual, it is within that person's capacity to withstand it. Why? Because Allah ta'ala says, وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدٍ. Allah ta'ala does not oppress his banna in the least way. So the person has got the capacity to withstand it. So Mawlana Sahib Rahmatullah, to give the example, he says that the examiner, he sets a very difficult paper. The student goes into the exam room. Now the paper is put before him. Now when he sees that exam paper, so we always tell the students that when you see the exam paper, so it's as if you're seeing stars in the daytime. And many of the students, they sit down and they wait for some wahi to come. Some wahi to come down from the sky. But subhanAllah, the paper now is extremely challenging. The student doesn't know where to turn. He didn't study that. He doesn't know how to answer the paper. He's shocked beyond belief at the difficult nature of the paper. But then suddenly, the examiner comes by, puts his hand on the shoulder, or puts her hand on the female student, the apa on the student, and says that don't worry. The paper is very, very difficult, it's very challenging, but what you do, you put your hand in my hand. You put your hand in my hand, and I will help you write this entire paper. Now that student, paper is difficult, but now the student is calm. The examiner is here, it's going to help me right through, it's going to help me through this paper right till the end. As it says in the same way, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests his banda. So then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then assists that banda to go through this entire imtihan. That banda who resigns his will to the will of Allah. And he says, Ya Allah, you are the one who sent this condition. When Allah wala, he made the statement. He said, this whole world is running in accordance to my will. So the muftis, some of them started passing the fatwa. Okay, this is a statement of kufr. How can you say that the whole world is running according to your will? This is wrong. So he says, well, tell the muftis first to ask me, what am I saying? So he said, what do you mean by this? He says, you see, Allah Ta'ala is the one who's controlling this whole world. It's running according to His will. But I have resigned my will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore my will has become Allah Ta'ala's will. So it's as if this world is running according to my will, because my will is whatever Allah Ta'ala wants. Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayh, he mentions an incident which had taken place in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam on one particular occasion. It is found in the Mutnawi of Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayh. That Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whilst making wudu, he had taken out his mozas, the leather sock, for some reason. He had made wudu. After completing wudu, suddenly an eagle came and took that leather sock away. Now everyone was parishan, this eagle took the sock away. After a little while, this eagle came back close by with the sock, turned it upside down, and a snake came out. And then that eagle spoke to Rasulullah says, said, O Nabi of Allah, I would never show any disrespect to you in any way. Why will I cause you any taklif? You are the greatest after Allah, you are the Nabi of Allah. Why will I cause you any taklif? But had you put on this sock, then some greater taklif would have come to you. Hence I took this, turned it out and removed that snake to protect you. So Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayh derives an important lesson. That sometimes a difficulty comes upon an individual that appears to be unfavorable, it appears to be putting the person through some kind of taklif, but it is protecting the person from some greater calamity, which the person may not know. Unfortunately, we, or fortunately, we do not know what is going to be happening tomorrow. Why we say fortunately? Because if the person knew that in 1 week's time he is going to be passing away, would that person be able to sleep? So Allah Ta'ala kept these things hidden from the individual, that no one knows when he's going to pass away, no one knows what's going to be happening tomorrow. Otherwise no person would be able to conduct the affairs of his life with ease. So Allah Ta'ala kept, out of hikmah, out of khair, Allah kept these things hidden. So that was the first incident which took place in the life of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which reinforces this aspect, that there is khair in whatever happens. The second incident is with regards to one wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had a very great, large following of people who had muhabbat for him, murids, ashiks. And they had decided to set out for a journey to the holy lands to perform umrah or hajwa or whatever it may have been. Remember those days when they used to travel. It wasn't like today where the person just goes to the airport, gets onto the plane. Those days they used to travel by ship in different forms of transport, and if the person for some reason was delayed, then sometimes that journey would be delayed by an entire week. So everyone had got together to join Hazrat in his safar. Everyone was very, very excited, happy, they're going to be going on this particular safar. Suddenly, when the Wali of Allah got up, and he was about to move out of the house. In those days in India, the door frames of the houses were very low. So in that excitement, sometimes when the person is occupied, you become unconscious of many things. Other than realize, every day he used to walk out normally. For some reason, he may have been preoccupied with the tasks of the journey. And as he was walking out, he bumped his head on the door frame very, very severely. The pain was so intense that Hazrat had to go onto the bed and just rest because the pain is so intense. As a result, the entire safar got postponed. Everyone was very, very despondent, very sad, felt very bad. On this note of sad and bad, something light-hearted that comes to the mind. One youngster, he went overseas to study. Father sent him to go and study whatever it was in one of the foreign countries. We heard this incident from Aynusab Ramzulai. This reminds me of when we have to come back to this incident here. So he went to study, so his father sent him to study, gave him money, whatever it was. So instead of going to study, the son went and he started splashing the money on entertainment and all those kind of things. And as a result, all the money got finished. Those days they had this telegram. Not the app that we have today. Today we also have an app called Telegram. Those days Telegram was a form of communication. I used to send very, very short messages, the coded messages. So he wrote to his father that no money, no fun, your son. Meaning I got no money. Because I got no money, there's no fun. And this message is from your son. So the father replied, too bad, too sad, you're dead. So anyway, this buzuruk, coming out, he had severely bumped his head, because of which he had to lie down, the whole journey got postponed. Everyone was very despondent, sad, only to discover later that there were some individuals who had malice and hatred and jealousy for this wali of Allah. They decided now is the ideal opportunity for us to finish Hazrat. And they had waited in a certain position to ambush Hazrat and assassinate him. Allah Ta'ala made him bump his head in that way to protect and safeguard his life. That was the second incident. And the third incident was the incident of a great wali of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Very great wali of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. He was a majzoob. Deeply drowned in the ishq and love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Totally detached from this world. So one great king, because of his piety, he kept him close to him. He would take him for his journeys wherever he went, out of barakat he used to take him. This one speciality of this wali, he was known as that person who, everything he would say khair. Isme bhi khair hai. Isme bhi khair. Everything there's khair. So they undertook this journey. The king went for hunting. He used to enjoy hunting. So they went on a hunting spree. Whilst engaged in this hunting, the king injured his finger. As a result, his entire finger got severed from the hand. So that buzruk said, isme bhi khair hai. There's khair in this. So the king got very upset. He said, how can you say that? That's disrespect. I lost my whole finger. And you're saying, isme bhi khair. How can there be khair in this? I don't have one finger. And you say, isme bhi khair hai. So, immediately, retract your statement. He said, no, I stand by what I said. There's definitely khair in this. So he said, we're not going to retract what your statement, you're going to jail. So he said, isme bhi khair. So he put him in jail. He sent him to jail. He said, you can't even say, isme bhi khair in the jail. Anyway, that king continued for his hunting journey, and they were confronted by man-eating people, cannibals. All of them were totally encircled, they were overpowered. And now the speciality of these people, or the one particular aspect of these man-eating people, was that they only ate those people who had no defect in their bodies. So they would scrutinize each person. As soon as they found a defect, they would reject it. One by one, they started to take, right, he's okay, he's okay. And they came to the king, he said, no, one finger missing. Let him go. So the king quietly, he came back to the palace. He came to that buzruk. He said, definitely it's maybe khair here. There was definite khair in that. And there was khair in you coming in the jail. Because if you didn't come to the jail, you would have also been destroyed. So subhanAllah, in everything that happens, there's some khair. We do not understand the hidden plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We had an incident now in the madrasa where the madrasa had undertaken the project of doing the whole driveway and so on. And the project was just supposed to start from one point and end at another point. And whilst the project commenced, suddenly one pipe burst in another street. And it caused so much of damage to another section of the property that we had no alternative but to say that we rather just extend this project and do everything. But now when we look at it, the amount of benefit that it will have for the entire madrasa, you realize that there was so much of khair in that pipe having burst. Had it not burst, then this khair would not have come. So, subhanAllah, this hadith of Rasulullah is so pertinent in our lives, that in any given condition, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is best for us. And we must resign our will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In one hadith, the mafhoom of one hadith of Rasulullah s.a.w. that sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows for a certain individual, poverty is best for that person. Sometimes we look at the person, he's always struggling, he's always going through difficulty, we feel pity for the person. But we do not know that for that person, poverty is the best. Allah ta'ala knows what his condition is, that if this person was given too much of wealth, then this person would have become rebellious and he would have turned away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala keeps the person in that difficulty so that the person can be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala keeps the person in a condition of pain so that the person can keep on calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala keeps the person sometimes in prosperity because Allah ta'ala knows that this person is bare sabr. He can't exercise any sabr. He starts. So Allah ta'ala then keeps that person in prosperity so that that person can carry on making shukr. So we do not know what each person's capacity is. Allah is Hakim. In Arabic they say, فِعْلُ الْحَكِيمِ لَا يَخْلُو مِنَ الْحِكْمَةِ. That a wise person, anything that he does, there'll be some hikmah behind it. There'll be some hikmah behind it. I recall Awalid Mu'ayyaz Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he had given mashwara to someone. So that person didn't take the mashwara. So afterwards when he came back and he told Hazrat, Hazrat, you know what? I should have listened to you. So then Hazrat mentioned, you see, that's why there's hikmah in whatever we say. The person who has got hikmah, when he will give you advice, there will be some wisdom behind every advice that he gives you. Every piece of advice, there will be some hikmah behind it. Now imagine Al-Hakim, that being who is the creator of hikmah. Allah who is Al-Hakim. There is no one more wise and that is beyond Allah Ta'ala's wisdom. And when Allah Ta'ala makes a decision, that decision will be full of hikmah. We must trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah knows what He is doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows exactly what is best for us. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with this beautiful quality of Radha bil Qada. Resigning our will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those couplets of Hazrat Mawlana Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, or the couplets which he used to recite, and this was more at that stage of his life when he was going through that pain of the heart attacks. So he used to recite these couplets, ke jis haal mein bhi wo rakhte hai us haal ko ashal dekha hai, jis haal mein bhi wo rakhte hai us haal ko akmal dekha hai, jis raah se wo le jaate hai us raah ko ashal dekha hai. Which means that Ya Allah, in whichever condition you keep me in, I found that condition to be the most perfect condition for me. Jis raah se wo le jaate hai, and Ya Allah, whichever road you took me through, whichever pathway you took me through, I found that pathway to be the easiest pathway. And then he says, jis raah ko hum tajweez kare, us raah ko atqal dekha hai. And he said, that road which we, said, no, we're doing it this way, we must do it this way, we found that road to be the most difficult. The person insisted he wanted to do it this way. So then that road became the most difficult road. But that person who said, no, Allah Ta'ala wants this to happen and resigned his will to the will of Allah, then for that person, life became so easy. And this is the thing that people do not understand. When Allah Ta'ala says, Ala inna awliya Allah la khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. That, listen, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no fear and no sorrow and grief upon them. So So it doesn't mean that the wali of Allah will not be faced with difficult conditions. Study the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you will see his whole life from the start right till the end is nothing but trials, tribulations, challenges. One person was suffering from depression. He used to come very often to Maulana Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. We all knew him. Maulana made it known. He used to mention to Maulana openly, "I'm very, very depressed. Make dua for me." He had some difficult conditions that came upon him. So one day, while sitting in the office at the madrasa, Maulana had, I think it was on the right hand side, where Maulana's desk was, on the right hand side, he had a frame of the green dome. So Maulana looked at the green dome and said, "But what you must do, get one frame like this here. Put it in your house. Whenever you're feeling depressed and sad and despondent, just look at that green dome and tell yourself that the one resting beneath this green dome, what kind of difficulties and trials and tribulations do you have?" He said, "When you think of that, then inshallah, this difficulty yet that you're going through will be a drop in the ocean." Imagine Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, before he's born, his father has already passed away. Only 6 years old, his mother has passed away. After that, his grandfather passes away. Then, the difficulty and the kind of corruption and mischief that was taking place in Makkah Sharif, it caused so much of pain to Rasulullah says, to such an extent that he would go to the Ghar of Hira, and he would just try and cut himself away, because he just couldn't take it. He just wanted to be in solitude. He wanted to be alone. Then Nubuwwat comes back to his wife as a Khadijah al-Kubra radiallahu anha, zammiluni, I'm going to be destroyed now. Obviously she gives him so much of comfort and courage. And then when he announces in Nubuwwat that very family who he had hoped would support him, they turned against him. Tabban lak alihada jama'atana, may you be destroyed, is this why you have gathered us? And then all the trials and the tribulations start. The mockery, the insult, the pain, the torture. Then after the boycott that takes place, and then the death of his beloved wife was a pillar of support, then the death of Abu Talib thereafter, and then it only intensifies to the extent that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, now he has to leave Makkatul Mukarramah, addressing Makkah Sharif, "Oh Makkah, I love you. Had it not been for the difficulty and the hatred of my people, I would never have left you." And then he has to make hijrah to Medina Sharif. And just before that, the incident of Taif, that is a whole topic in itself. And then Medina Sharif, it's not like when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to Medina Sharif, he just found relaxation. There was so much of challenges that it is said that the Sahaba-i-Kiram would sleep sometimes with the sword around their necks, because they didn't know when the enemy would be attacking. They were so on edge. That famous incident that took place that displayed the courage of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Okay, one night in Madinatul Munawwara, there was a sound. All the Sahaba Ikram got up. They were all ready. The enemy, waiting for the enemy to attack. The Sahaba Ikram stated that it was so dark, those days they didn't have street lights, that your person couldn't even see his hand in front of him. Now the Sahaba are making mashwara, we need to protect Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Medina Sharif. What should be the way forward? Suddenly they hear a horseman coming, galloping on the horse. They can't see anything, everybody's on edge. Suddenly, فَإِذَا هُوَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam bare-chested on the horse with the sword around him. He says, "All of you can go and rest. I've gone around the entire border of Medina Sharif, everything is safe." So this shows how much of difficulty and how uneasy the Sahaba were. And then after that, the battle of Badr, then the battle of Uhud, then the battle of Ahzab, poverty, difficulty in Madinatul Munawwara. That the whole life of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was nothing but trial and tribulation. If the greatest after Allah could have gone through such difficulty, he tells us that this world is not a place to enjoy. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Ma ana wa dunya illa karakibin istadalla tahta shajaratin thumma raha wa tarakaha." My example and the example of this world, it's like a person who is traveling, he finds some tree to get some shade and rest. He rests for a few moments and then he carries on his journey. That's all, my attachment to the dunya is like that. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, absolutely no attachment to this dunya. If there was anyone worthy of being given some kind of palace in this world, it would have been Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala And Nabi Kareem Sahasam chose a life of absolute simplicity, and Allah Ta'ala sent challenges after challenges after challenges. In one beautiful hadith of Nabi Kareem Sahasam, Allah Ta'ala says, "May yuridillahu bihi khayran yusibhu." That person whom Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala wishes good for, Allah Ta'ala afflicts him with some calamity. Some calamity comes in that person's life, but Allah Ta'ala has a good intention behind that whole calamity. And another hadith of Nabi Kareem Sahasam, that those people who are tested the most severely are the Anbiya, and then those who are close to them, and then those who are close to them. So therefore, remember that we have come into this dunya, and we have come here to be tested by Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. We're only here for a few days. Chand roza zindagi hai bas. This life of ours is just a few days. Just a few days. And I heard this from Maulana Sahib Rahmatullahi. He says, you ask, Yan Hazrat used to say, you ask me now at this age of 60, and you ask me about life, I'll tell you it's a dream. It's a dream. Ask the person who's 80 years old, how is this life that has passed of 80 years? It's like a dream. It's like a dream. And even where we are right now, if we look back into our lives, it's just like a dream. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us this beautiful quality of Radha bil Qada, resigning our will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on that point we mentioned the Ahlullah. Allah ta'ala makes their hearts gham-proof. So they are faced with challenges. But what happens? Allah ta'ala fortifies their heart. And because they have got this Radha bil Qada, they've resigned their will to the will of Allah. So Allah makes their heart gham-proof. Hazrat Wala Shah Ki Makhtar Sahib Rahmatullahi says that those days the Swiss watches were known to be of a high quality, and some of them were waterproof. Nowadays you find plenty. So that watch, what does it mean is waterproof? It means you put it into the water, the watch will still continue working. That entire watch will be completely surrounded by water, but no water will get inside. We say that watch is waterproof. He says Allah Ta'ala makes the hearts of the Ahlullah gham-proof. That though it seems like they faced with thousands of challenges and difficulties and pain and sickness and hardship, but Allah Ta'ala has fortified their hearts. It's surrounded by difficulty, but inside their heart is sukoon. Inside their heart is sukoon. We can't understand these things, but just one incident that comes to mind. Hazrat Wala Shah Ki Makhtar Sahib Rahmatullahi says that when he spent time in the company of his Shaykh Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib Fulpuri, Nawarullah Murqadahu, they lived in the jungles, away from everyone. 17 years living in the jungle was it, Ajeeb. He said, absolutely simple life. It's simple food. So one day they were eating dal. So Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib addressed Hakim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullahi. So he said, Hakim Akhtar, mujhe is dal ke andar biryani ka maza aa raha hai. So Hazrat, ye kaise hai? He said, Hazrat, in this dal that I'm eating, he told Hazrat Shah Hakim Akhtar Sahib, he said that in this dal I'm getting the enjoyment of biryani. So he said, how is that possible? He said, because I'm thinking to myself that who is the one who is giving strength in my hand for this hand to go in the mouth? So he says, I'm imagining that my beloved Allah is feeding me. The person when his beloved puts something in the mouth, so now there's a different kayfiyat. There's a different ecstasy. So Hazrat Maulana Sahib Rahmatullahi used to say, I say that today we don't even get the enjoyment of dal in our biryani. Because of all the parishani, we don't even get the enjoyment of dal in our biryani. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with this beautiful quality of Radha bin Qada. Subhanallah, the person's life will be a total different color in life. It doesn't mean that the person won't feel pain. It doesn't mean that the person will not tear. The person will cry. Nabi Kareem Sasim cried when he lost his beloved son. He said, Inna bifiraqika la mahzunun ya Ibrahim. He said that we feel gham, but the tongue will only mention that which pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, Subhanallah, again another beautiful example that comes to the mind with your people's barakat. Hazrat, on the same point of separation, when a person loses a loved one, so Hazrat gives such a beautiful example, Allahu Akbar. In the entire tafsir of Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un, he says, imagine that a person has got a cupboard, in the cupboard he's got 3 or 4 shelves. Now he has got a cup and saucer set that's kept on the top shelf. All the cups are kept there, the saucers are kept there, the cutlery is kept there. Now the owner decides, okay, listen, this cup here on the top, I'm going to be taking this cup and saucer, I'm going to put it on the bottom shelf. Now metaphorically, if those cups could speak, the cups and saucers on the top shelf, they would start complaining. That we've just gotten to know each other, we have such a strong relationship, we have such a strong bond. And now I was getting to know this cup and saucer, we had a good relationship. It's an example. Now, how could you do such a thing? Now I got no company, I'm feeling lonely, who am I going to be talking to? You've taken this cup and you put it in the bottom shelf, now I can't communicate any longer. So now this says, now the owner addresses that cup and saucer and says, no, listen, at the end of the day, this entire shelf belongs to me. I own it. So I can do what I want to. You can't question me that why I'm taking this cup and putting it down. So I can do as I wish to. I can take the cup, put it here, I can take it out, put it somewhere else. It belongs to me. But don't stress, don't worry. Soon you will also go in the bottom shelf. Soon you will also go in the bottom shelf. Subhanallah. This is the same ayat, the tafsir of the ayat, Inna lillahi wa inna. We all belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of us belong to Allah. So Allah has the prerogative and right to do with whomsoever, whatever He wishes, whenever He wishes. But wa inna ilayhi raji'un, we're all going to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this ayat gives a mu'min and a believer so much of hope, and it makes it so much more easier for us to overcome the difficult conditions that afflict a person. But nevertheless, we still must continuously make dua for afiyat. Allah ta'ala must not test us. We must make dua that, Ya Allah, take us through the road of shukr, do not take us through the road of sabr. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. أو كريم الله رحيم الله most forgiving most loving most caring Allah. Ya Allah, it is your fazal, your karam, Ya Allah, that you have gathered us here tonight, Ya Allah, to discuss, Ya Allah, these topics, Ya Allah. O Allah, grant us all the tawfiq to implement these wonderful qualities in our lives, Ya Allah. O Allah, it is easy to talk, Ya Allah, but implementation is a different issue, Ya Allah. Without your ability and tawfiq, Ya Allah, there is nothing that we can achieve, Ya Allah. O Allah, you grant us the tawfiq and ability to develop these qualities within our lives, Ya Allah. O Allah, you have blessed us with so many ni'mats and so many bounties, Ya Allah. We cannot even count a single bounty of yours. You have mentioned, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. Ya Allah, just for example, Ya Allah, the bounty of our eyes, Ya Allah. How many bounties have been accrued just with the one bounty of our eyes, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we have made to make shukr upon shukr just for one bounty of yours, Ya Allah. And yet you have showered us with millions and millions of bounties, Ya Allah. Every single minute and second of our lives, Ya Allah. Allah, yet Ya Allah, we have used these bounties on so many occasions for your disobedience and displeasure, Ya Allah. Yet Ya Allah, you have not seized us, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, where will we find such a tolerant, such a kind, such a loving Allah? Forgive our sins, Ya Allah. Our major sins, minor sins, Ya Allah. Those which we committed knowingly, unknowingly in the light of day, darkness of night, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, we are approaching, Ya Allah, the Mubarak month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. We are approaching, Ya Allah, the night of Bara'ah, Ya Allah. This is a Mubarak night, Ya Allah. This is a Mubarak month, Ya Allah. Allah grant us the tawfiq to maximize, Ya Allah, in this Mubarak month of Sha'ban, Ya Allah. Allah, let us reach the month of Ramadan, Ya Allah. Allah, so that we can earn more rewards and thawab, Ya Allah, for our akhirat, Ya Allah. We are all traveling towards our graves, Ya Allah. We are moving as every second passes by. It's 1 second closer to our graves, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, give us the realization, Ya Allah, that our lives are melting away like a block of ice on a sunny day, Ya Allah. Drop by drop, second by second, Ya Allah. We're edging closer and closer to our graves, Ya Allah. Grant us the tawfiq to prepare for Akhirat, Ya Allah. Give us the fikr of Akhirat, Ya Allah. O Allah, detach our hearts from dunya, Ya Allah. Grant us the best of dunya, Ya Allah. But O Allah, let our hearts not be attached to dunya, Ya Allah. O Allah, let our hearts be attached to you, Ya Allah. Bless us with such a mahabbat and ishq for you, Ya Allah. Make us those fish that swim deep down in your ocean of mahabbat and ma'rifat, Ya Allah. Make us yours and become ours, Ya Allah. Bless us with this quality of radha bil qada, Ya Allah. Allah, take us to the road of shukr. Do not take us to the road of sabr, Ya Allah. And Ya Allah, those who are going through difficulty, pain, taklif, hardship, Ya Allah, make it easy for them, Ya Allah. Alleviate their suffering, Ya Allah. Put sukoon in their hearts, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, like how was it Bilal radiallahu anhu, Ya Allah, whilst he was being lashed and beaten, you're saying, Ahad, Ahad, Ya Allah, oh Allah. But that enjoyment, that sweetness he was getting in saying, Ahad, Ya Allah, only you know and he knew what he was going through, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, bless, Ya Allah, those who are going through that difficulty with such sukoon within their hearts, Ya Allah. Such sweetness within their hearts, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, that sweetness of being close to you, Ya Allah. Bless us with your mahabbat and ma'rifat, Ya Allah. Alleviate the suffering of the entire ummah of Rasulullah. All the works of deen that are taking place, assist, Ya Allah. Oh Allah, unite the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah, those who have passed away, Ya Allah, family members, beloved ones, Ya Allah. Fill the graves with noor, Ya Allah. Fill the graves with noor, Ya Allah. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusallun ala al-Nabi, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa sallim. Subhan rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. Wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. Alhamdulillah.